to thank Kathy for sharing a few minutes. We were asked her. I know she was kind of went ahead, and you know, sometimes it's hard to get up and preach if you don't do it all the time. It's hard, and that's why some of you don't do it. And I've asked different ones to do it. They said, no, I don't want to do it. My wife is not a preacher. She doesn't pretend to be. She's a good teacher, and she doesn't want to preach, but she can teach, and so she promises she'll do it again. But some of you don't want to. Some of you want to all the time. And those of you that want all the time should sit down. And you don't know too much, and you just say a lot of stuff. But anyway, anyway, let's go to our Bibles. We call this the Helps Checkout. The Helps Checkout. This is Helps Month at Faith City Church. We know all the mothers are helpers. Every mom is a huge help, and you just saw the video. They're, you know, reffing, you know, they're doctors and nurses and so on. They're administrators, managers. They do all that for us. And where the time goes, I don't know. But let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, so let's not get tired. That's a good place to start right here. Amen. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. Just at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Now, I want to read that one more time, a little faster. I kind of want to emphasize a few words. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So Galatians 6:9 is exhorting us today that some people in the church are tired. Or else the Holy Ghost wouldn't say that. You know, we all get tired. And that we have to get up in the morning or whatever we're doing to do our jobs. And it's easy to get tired. Easy to get tired of the ministry. And the Bible exhorts us how not to get tired as well. And tells us to watch over ourselves. I know in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, Bible says in there that Paul told the leaders of Ephesus, pastors, the leaders, he says, take heed unto yourself and to all the flock. We have to take care of ourselves and make room for God's work. Amen? We have to take care. And Paul is talking to the leaders. If we are tired Christians, tired workers, how is everybody else around us going to serve? And one of the things that I've learned, when I went to Bible school, I went there as an older man in Bible school, and I wasn't like a teenager or just in my 20s. And I went there with eyes wide open, my pen in hand, and every time the pastor or Brother Hagin would talk, I'd be writing my notes, and I'd see kids fiddling around and people laughing, you know, they don't pay any attention. And I realized this, that we all learn from the level that we're standing on. See, what I'm preaching and what people are hearing right now, it's all not equal. What I'm saying right now might not register on you right now. One day it will. You might not be ready to hear certain things. It doesn't mean that what I said is not true. It's that you're not ready or that you have your filters on. And we, each one of us, have filters. We might have social, cultural filters, economic filters. Whatever filters we have, when we hear someone speak, we have these filters and we filter in messages. And I realized that. And when I was at Bible school, also, our age factor has a lot to do with how you hear something. That's why you can listen to a set of CDs or messages, and all of a sudden you say, how did I miss this? I heard this message before. The same preacher, same message, and I'm hearing something different. We hear things differently. And when I was in school, they taught us a few things, what we need to learn about serving, to take care of ourselves. And so I want to add this thinking right now to your notes. And I propose this thought for you. This is the month of serving and helping at Faith City. So we dedicate our messages to serving in some fashion. And I couple that with moms today, because moms always serve. If you're a mother, you're always going to serve. The good that you do today will often be forgotten tomorrow. The good that you do today will often be forgotten tomorrow. The exhortation is, do good anyway. We have to have a heart of doing good anyway, because God said to do it. I want you to go to a couple of more scriptures. I don't have them on my notes. I didn't give my team all my notes, because I do have a lot of notes. I'm working by three or four different messages here at my team. So I want you to go to Galatians or Romans chapter 12 and go to the Amplified Bible, Romans chapter 12. We're talking about help check out, because some people check out of serving. Romans 12. I haven't used my Bible like this for a while, and I forget how to use it. Romans 12. Glory to God. Romans chapter 12. I want us to go to verse 11 in the Amplified Version, please. We're talking about helps checkout. Paul told the Galatian Christians not to get tired of doing good. And people have gotten tired and they checked out. And then here in Romans 12, he's talking to the church there. You know, in Romans 12, it tells Paul tells those Christians at Rome, the church of Rome, that he said to them that you need to renew your mind and you need to do something with your body. How many people know that your body wants to do what it wants to do? Your body can feel so tired, and it'll want to eat all the time. But it doesn't need that much food. I just can look around. Lots of people got too much food. Your chubby cheeks and chubby ankles and fingernails are chubby, whatever. But we eat too much. Anna said, we eat too much. So Romans 12 and 11 says, never lag in zeal and in earnest and in endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. People have lost zeal. They're not as earnest as they used to be when they first got born again. They want to go serving. They don't want to go serving anymore. They don't want to go to the extra prayer meeting that week. They don't do those things that they used to. Some of you born-again Christians have been around for a while. You don't want to do those things anymore. Somehow you lost some zeal. You know how it was? How many of you remember how it was when you first got saved? You want to tell everybody. You know, especially those of you that have been around, you've been in the world, you were not saved, and all of a sudden you got saved when you're a teenager or you're a young adult, and all of a sudden you just really got fired up for God. Is there anybody like that in here? Can you say amen? And you want to tell everybody. And you want to go and help people. But now all you want to do is curl up and watch Netflix. Amen. It says in here that be aglow. That means burn with the fire of God. Be aglow. Some people, just their fire is hardly burning Sunday morning. Amen. They're just like, you know, seem like Jesus left them. So It says that we need to be a globe burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. And so here's something that we need to understand, that we need the Holy Spirit. He's our helper to help us serve God. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We can't have depressed Christians trying to serve God. We got to be able to get out of this. I mean, if you need medications, take them and believe God at the same time. Glory to God. Amen? Amen. Everybody, I mean, when we were Rhema, they taught us, you know, hey, faith in medicine. If you get sick, go ahead and take the medicine and go ahead and take the operation and let's believe God. Praise God. Amen? Amen. If you don't get a miraculous miracle right away, just go ahead and do what you have to do. We can't just sit around and wait for supernatural. Meanwhile, you're dying. Unless God told you. Most of the time, he don't told you. Okay. So we see here that we need to serve God with some enthusiasm, according to the scripture. Like we're happy to serve. You ever go to a business place when they serve food or something? They're not happy to serve you, some people. But they want the tip. And they want you to come back. But they don't seem that happy that they got a job and you're sitting there and say, hey, you know, you're getting paid to serve me. You got a job here to do. So be nice. And I think people say that about church too. So we need to serve, and everyone in the church is called to do at least three things as a basic start off point. 1 Peter 4, this is Helps Ministry Month. 1 Peter chapter 4. And let's go ahead and read verse 10. And let's go ahead and read the Amplified again, since it's nice. It gives us a little extra here. I believe it's verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. So, some people have quit serving or quit helping because they've been hurt in the church. They've been hurt somehow. Somebody intentionally hurt them, or something, you know, they had a fight. Or they intentionally, somebody hurt them intentionally. Maybe the staff or pastor or somebody. I was going to tease them, but it's not a good place to do it. But anyway, sometimes, you know, you don't know what's working. Sometimes it doesn't work. But anyway, sometimes we say things that hurt people. We don't know that we hurt them, but we hurt them. Like telling somebody, oh, you put on some weight. And they start crying. She's a powerful woman, then. See? I know she prays all the time, and that comes out that way. And, oh, my Lord. Did you get that back there? Did you ruin the television ministry? But anyway, I don't know. That scared me. I got to get together. Could you stretch your hands towards me right now? But anyway, people quit serving. They help because they've been hurt somehow, because they unintentionally got hurt. Somehow they, whatever. And that's why we tell people, go in the right ministry area if you know it. Until you don't know, just go ahead and find something to do. Like when Jerry and his wife came in the ministry here, they started cleaning. They said, well, we can clean this church. They cleaned the church every week for a long, long time. They were so clean in here. And so that's what they did. They said, okay, I'm going to come help. And so they stayed until Jerry did some things with his back. Not here, but I guess he was trying to lift his wife up or something. And then she got something going on there. She went and got a facelift. No, he didn't get. No, anyway, she went to the hospital, too, to get some work done. But sometimes we get hurt, so if you've ever gone through a tough time serving, you're not alone. We've all been there somewhere along the line, and we throw the towel in as our answer. We say, well, this is it. I'm going to throw the towel away, throw this away, because this serving business, they hurt me in that church. There's no reason to quit because one person hurt you or because you're mad at somebody. So that's just an obstacle for you to learn that there's something you need to learn about getting over stuff. Come on now, right? How many of you had that experience already? You had to get over it and say, you know what? You know what? I understand that. Sometimes our personalities don't work together. And so we understand that. So that's why in our teaching training program and our leadership development, we teach about different kinds of personalities. And we have to understand, we work around people. You might not be working with somebody that you like a lot. That might teach you something about you at the same time. Learn how you need to put up with things. With people, there's all kinds of people in the world, not just the kind you like. So when you serve in the ministry, there's all kinds of people and all kinds of conditions in serving. If you had to quit every job that you didn't like people, then you'd be looking for a job every week. But because they give you money, you keep going back there. People keep jobs for all their lives. They hate their job all their life, but they keep going back because they give them money. We're going to have to start giving money out. Many will continue to encounter times like that, and they feel like quitting. That's why Paul says, do not quit. So if you feel like quitting, you have to be able to learn how not to quit, because you're going to make a difference in someone's life. We all go through these trials in serving God. Every one of us. But we're called to serve. The Bible says that we need to learn how to serve people. And notice, as we were over here in Romans 12, we didn't read all the verses of scriptures that we wanted to. We read Romans 12, 11. If you go back there again, Romans 12, 11, it says in here that we shouldn't lack zeal. We shouldn't suffer any difficulty with, you know, trying to make it, try to serve. You know, we should have some zeal in our life, some zip in our life. And the reason that people lose zeal is because they've lost purpose, why they're doing it. We don't do it to be seen only. We don't do it just to have a good name and, oh, let's put your name up here. Let's go ahead and worship you for a little bit, 5 minutes. And lift you up and carry you on the shoulders and parade you around, the streets of here and Karen River. This is a good helper. We don't need to do that. We need to, you gotta understand this. You're serving God because God told you to do it. We all had to learn. We've all had to learn to do that when no one's patting us on the back. Oh, that's a wonderful job. You do it again next week. Can you do that? Thank you. No, you know, we don't need that. God wants us to grow up and to understand what he said to do, not what somebody is looking at you to do. And that's what Jesus critiqued the Pharisees. He said, you know what? You like to walk around and be praised by men and wear long robes and you tell people where you're giving your money so everybody will praise you. No, we need to know that God wants us to serve and have the heart of servant, of servant's heart. So in verse 16, he says, live in harmony with one another. So we know the Holy Ghost is telling us that sometimes in serving people, serving with people, working with people, sometimes your harmony is not there. Harmony is not there. Ephesians 4 says, endeavor to keep the unity of peace together, the bond of peace. So you have to work at keeping peace with people. Sometimes we have to not say what we want to say, everything in our mind. Right? So he says in here, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty or snobbish or high-minded, because some people won't do certain jobs in the church because it's beyond their education. It's beyond their level of culture, of understanding. They don't want to go in a gutter. They don't want to go and help whoever it is. Well, you know, sometimes I remember one day there, I'm saying, what am I doing? I've got these kids, crying kids, in the back of my car with all the mother, and we're going to get Pampers. And day before, I'm on television and saying, praying to everybody across the nation, you know, and you're doing all kinds of jobs. Well, I don't like to be in front of the television screen all the time myself. Maybe some of you would like once in a while, but if you have to do it all the time, it kind of gets bothering after. So you do all kinds of stuff. He says in here, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty or snobbish or high-minded, exclusive, but exclusive being that, you can only work with certain people. But readily adjust yourself. Look at this. Adjust yourself to people and things. Because everything is not going to be exactly the way you want it when you come and serve in some area. And give yourself to humble tasks. Never overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceits. So sometimes there's a whole lot of adjusting that we're doing. Let's go over to Ephesians 4, since we mentioned it. Ephesians chapter 4. The Amplified says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you and beg of you to walk and lead a life worthy of the Lord, the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to summons of God's service. Live as become you, complete lowliness of mind, humility, meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, meekness, with bearing with one another, making allowances because you love one another. So that sounds like a whole lot of working with, endeavoring to keep that in check, keeping yourself in check. And I know I was in an AA program for many, many years. We used to tell each other, you don't try to take my inventory, take your own inventory. Y'all remember that, right? I'm breaking their anonymity because they're in church now. I don't mind that. I was an alcoholic for years in the program. And I loved the program. I'd go there every day if I had to still. I enjoyed it. There's some wonderful people there. Thank God. Just like here, there's wonderful people. Some of them are more excellent than others in some ways. Some don't comb their hair. You're all wonderful. Now, there's some things that we need to do. Go to Titus is one thing we have to do. The book of Titus, the book of Titus is a letter written to a leader who is supposed to lead a bunch of people in a church setting. Titus is a pastoral letter. Titus, let's go ahead and find Titus. Let's go to chapter 3. Verse 3, put them in mind, be subject to the principalities and powers, or to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work. That's the King James. The Amplified says, remind people to be submissive to their magistrates and authorities, to be obedient, to be prepared and willing to do any upright, honorable work. Notice there it says in verse 2, the regular King James says, speak evil of no one. So watch out, you post things. don't speak evil of anybody. I like him, but let me tell you. So it says speak evil of nobody. Let's go down here. It says there, verse 8 of the King James. He says, this is faithful saying that these things have will that affirm constantly that they which have believed in God, they might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, King James says. So be careful to maintain good works. It says, you have to be able to understand, according to God's work, that you need to take into consideration how are you spending your time and maintain your good works serving God. Notice the latter section, verse 14 says, in the King James, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary users that they may be not unfruitful or unproductive. God wants us to be productive. So the three things that God wants us to do regularly is to be able to pray for one another. That's the work of God. The Bible says, Ephesians 6:18, praying always And at the end of that verse of scripture, it says, for all saints. He's not talking to a prayer group or specialized people in prayer. Now, although a lot of people use that in that, you know, but God, he says to all of us, we need to pray for the church. Pray for the local church. Pray for this church. Pray that the vision, whatever vision God's given us, if you don't know the vision, pick up one of the pamphlets and look at it and start praying for those visions. Or the vision of the statement of the church and start saying, God, we believe, standing with pastor and the leadership here, that we want to endeavor to do these things. The second area that the prayer, we need to do that. The second thing we need to do is to give whatever skill you have and give it to God because it came from God. Amen. Every skill you got, if you're a good accountant, you need to serve God in some fashion. If you're good at whatever art, whatever it is, you bring it to God. Say, God, is there something I can do for you in this church? So we read earlier 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. It says that God has graced us with his ability, the grace to serve him with. 1 Peter 4:10 says that God has given everyone a grace. And that grace, that ability to serve him, can be used in any fashion that is needed. Not just one area. If you could sing up here, you could sing in children's ministry. Or you could sing over there on the street. Wherever God can use you, right? We could do all kinds of stuff with your singing ability. The other thing talks about that we all need to do, Philippians 4, and verse 19 talks about God shall supply all of our needs. In verse 15, it talks about that giving financially to the church. As a start, God gives you an idea what he wants. The other day, I listened to a wonderful message about tithing and giving by Charles Stanley. You know who Charles Stanley is? Google him and find his thing on giving, tithing, giving. It's wonderful. Everybody ought to give at least 10%. At least. Tithing. 10%. Not giving. You don't give until you give after the 10 is gone. Then you give. You start giving. The 10 goes to God. Listen, this is how it works. 10 goes to God. God says, I want 10. You can have 90, but with the 90, I'll do better with the 90 than you would alone with 100. And that's supernatural. It's supernatural. And that's the first area every Christian needs to learn is giving their money. If you haven't done that part, you've missed a whole lot. You'll miss a whole lot about faith. You'll miss about believing God for different things. You'll always be whining and crying about everything else in your life because you haven't done the first thing first. God will teach you everything about your resources. That's amazing. People try to tell you. The devil tries to get on people. That's the law. Well, God tells you to pray. Is that a law too? Right? He said, I don't have to go to church. Yes, you do. If you want to follow God and do what God wants, you have to do it. What if your kid told you at home, I'm not going to do that. You know, you grab him by the ear and say, no, you're going to do it. He said, I'll call the children's aid. You'll go ahead. I remember, we used to have, strap our kids. We never strapped them really a whole lot, you know, just tapped them on the back with a little, you know, those spoons. Wooden spoons. I showed a spoon. And one day, Hannah came home from school because they had a presentation. You know, the people are teaching your kids a lot of stuff at school that you didn't ask them to teach them about. Like gender and stuff. Everybody's the same. There's no such thing as gender anymore. Right? Yeah, that's what they're teaching now. So, you're not a boy or a girl. But anyway, she came home one time. I was talking to her. She said, "You know, Dad, you cannot spank me anymore." I mean, she's only 10 years old, 8 years old. I said, oh, yeah? She said, yeah. He said, because the children's aide said, I can never be spanked. They came into the school and told me about that, yeah? Well, yeah, you know, I mean, you have to understand, everything's in moderation. You don't beat your kid. What? Yeah, right? You don't beat people up. And we have to discipline kids. If you discipline when they're a little bit younger, then they follow that after a while, right? So, anyway, so those are the three things that God's called you to do, but everybody is suited for a certain area of ministry. We all have expertise in certain areas. And so every year, we have an appreciation banquet, which I want to invite you to come to the appreciation banquet if we actually have enough room to invite everybody. Because you know, we're going to have it here today, this time, right? So some of you that are serving, we want you to learn how to serve. So we used to have it at the Italian Center, and we do it there. So people quit serving because they feel there's nothing in it. But there's a whole lot in it. There's a whole lot, you know, they don't have any desire to serve because they, you know, they say, well, you know, I don't feel like serving. But because they don't have any faith for it, they need to be taught why serving is important for their lives. Even Arnold says, his five rules for success. Arnold. He says, what is that one point? He says, you have to give back. Giving back. Right? Giving back. He said, you can't climb the ladder with hands in the pocket. So you have to be able to, you can't just stand around. If you want to go somewhere, get your hands out of your pocket and move ahead. Climb a ladder with your hands and your feet. So, and the another thing is not connected to the vision, you know, like you have to, when you come to a church or any church, you have to understand, so what's the vision here? My daughter Hannah found a beautiful church for her life called 3C or C3. Not 3Cs, C3. But a beautiful church is put on by the Australian people. Just because the guy is a beautiful young man with he's got a nice beard and he's got a beautiful accent. Not because of that, but I said, I want to go there because look at that man. He sounds good. Just because I listen to him, I want to listen to him all day long. And it's a beautiful church and they put you to work there. Like we're going to put you to work today. Praise God. You know, I've struggled all morning to preach it to you guys. You guys not responding that well. I tell you, sometimes, I know, you know, you have to be able to be in this too, right? I know serving is not the most, you know, exciting. You go, sorry, Lord. Woo, you know, Lord, I'm excited to serve. Oh, where can I sign up? But we want you to serve. So, I don't know what you guys did while I was gone. I heard there was an altar call here on Wednesday or Sunday. There's a Holy Ghost meeting every time I leave here. Anyway, but it's good. I heard it was very good. And, you know, I tell you something. I don't do Holy Ghost meetings Sunday mornings. The Lord told me not to do Holy Ghost meetings Sunday mornings for a reason. And, you know, that's what he said. But Wednesday, we would just be running around on the top here. But the Lord told me, certainly I have to listen to the Lord, what he told me to do. And we don't, you know, I could have a Holy Ghost every day, have people running around, falling all over the place, crying. But the Lord told me, don't do that. And he said, I want you to teach a certain way and be a certain kind of minister right now. But I want to do it. It took me a long time not to have a Holy Ghost meeting every service. Because God said, and this is an encounter with God right now in another fashion. Bring in the Holy Ghost in. Praise God. So we're all servers. Every one of us is servers. So I want to wish everybody the best Mother's Day dinner, lunch, whatever you're having. Love your mother. You know what? Don't take for granted your mother. Because I know some of you lost your moms. And I was driving down the road yesterday thinking about my mom. And how I love my mom, and how was she? My mom was so affectionate. She'd come and hug me, kiss me, called me, oh, my monkey, and she just hugged me like that. Yeah, she called me her monkey. I was the monkey in the family. They call me monkey. I live with that. Every time we go to a movie at my hometown, if they saw a chimpanzee on the thing, they say, Roma. Everybody say Roma. And we had another guy. His name was Ape Man. His name, no, but, you know, Ojibwe would give names. His name was Ape Man. So he goes to the bar. My cousin says, give him a banana. This guy, give him this guy here over here. And I remember my cousin, I have a really crazy cousin, you know, and he met the ape man somewhere. My cousin, you know, his name is Barney. Barney was like crazy. And he meets the ape man. He says, you know, on the reserve, they build houses for people. How many people know that? You order a house, you make a house, they make a house for you, or try to make a house. And he saw the ape man. He says, they're having a hard time building your home on the reserve because they kind of find a way to how to swing inside the house. They don't know how to fix your house. Anyway, that's kind of funny. And one of my uncles, you know, we had all kinds of funny things happen on reserve. Funny stories. If you hang around with First Nations people, they got all kinds of crazy things to tell you, funny stories. Because we need to learn how to laugh at each other in a funny way, in a nice way. And that's why I do it here, because I could be crying all the time. I mean, there's things you hear all week and stories and tragedies, you know. We go through as pastors and helpers, we go through fatigue, what they call compassion fatigue, because we're seeing people every day with horrible situations. People calling us late at night about horrible situations. And you got to laugh about these things. You got to laugh about life. You know, and it sounds morbid at times, but you got to do it. You got to laugh. Take care of yourself. So when you're serving in the ministry, learn to laugh about things. Don't take everybody that serious. It's not that serious all the time. They might get mad at you. So what? Come back again tomorrow. They'll feel a whole lot better. And so, you know, working in the field of helping, I remember my supervisor would say, you know, I quit. Here's my keys. I'm quitting. You know. And so she said, okay, grow my clean up and come back tomorrow and take a few days off. I come back and I'm all refreshed. After a while, everything changes when you're good, right? It's like when people, when they're sick, they want to die. I want to die. I said, okay, let's pray for you. Let God heal you and then die. And then when they get healed, they don't want to die. It's like you want to quit the church, but after you feel good, you don't want to leave the church. So don't leave the church. We need this building so full. We need that parking lot so packed that people will turn and die. What's going on in that place? So I want you to pray for your cousins and, oh, well, your cousins. But pray for all your cousins and your family and bring people to church. Bring people to church. And one guy called us earlier, my friend there, John, from up north. It's from Trout, I believe it is, or Biscuit. And he called me about 10 after, 5 after something, at least when I saw it. I told Pastor Ken, go get John, oh, way over the other side. I told Pastor Ken, you're the best driver ever. By the way, I got a story for you about the police. I'm coming tomorrow. Yesterday I was coming through. I could have met a lot of police for how many days was I away? I'm driving down the road. I saw the bear. I saw the moose. Then I saw the police officer coming like, woo, 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 woo. And I slowed right down. I was obedient, and as soon as he came over, he drove for a while following me, and I just went 55 real nice. Then he stops me right in front of the mill in Terrace Bay, opened down the windows, and all the smell was coming in it was so bad at the mill. Man, my car was smelly for like half to a place to Thunder Bay. I thought, man, this is a bad, am I that bad? But it was the mill, right? You know how it is when you're driving to the mill and you, did somebody do something? So I'm there. The police officer was talking to me. He says, sir. Yes, officer, how are you? It was nice to him. He says, is this your car? I said, why? I'm First Nations. I said, you got ownership? I said, no, I don't have ownership. He said, you don't have an ownership? No. I said, it's not my car. He said, okay, you got driver's license? I showed my driver's license. He said, okay. you know, you were driving a little fast on there, right? I said, yeah, I was. He said, yeah, you were passing that truck. Yeah, I was passing that truck. I didn't know if I passed the truck or not. But anyway, he stopped and started talking to me, and he was nice to me. He says, okay, you know, just put the anchor down. I will. I will. So anyway, so the trick is you be nice, Pastor Kent. And then you are nice. Yeah, that's it. So we got stuff. So now I have you have another story. I have another story after as well. This is a really crazy one. I'm driving down the road, and the police officer was in front of another vehicle, and there's another two vehicles in front of me. So the police officer decided he's going to step on his brakes and go to the side and make a U-turn. I just looked down once, and I saw the car coming to me. I slammed on my brakes. Anyway, you don't want to know the story. Let's go ahead and stand up. Well, happy Mother's Day to everybody. All the mothers, praise God. Father, we want to thank you for all the moms. We bless them again, one more time. We bless them every time we see them. Oh, thank you for moms. What would this church be without moms? Oh, blessed be God for dads too. It's coming up. But thank you, Jesus, for this great church called Faith City and Spirit of Life Television reaching across Canada, reaching into places that people cannot come to church or seeing the Word of God preached, into prisons, in areas, in isolated areas where people cannot come to church. We thank you that people are seeing the church. In the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something, guys. We're getting calls from people from out west. And they asked me to speak for a few minutes, my wife and I, at the conference, as pastors from all across Canada. The other day, we got a call. We're getting calls from out west from people watching the television program. They said, wow, we love Spirit Alive. We love watching Pastor Roma. I'm going to be a partner and start sending $50 a month. So we need, I'm believing God for at least another 100 people who would give financially so that we can do what we're called to do. I need to do some traveling out west. So believe God with me. Would you do that? To travel out west. So I was called by a pastor to go to Regina. There was a young man, we don't have this on television, but a young man that was ahead of one of the notorious gangs got born again, comes to his church. He said, I want you to come and meet this young fellow, this man, and talk to him, and I want to take your books. He bought 5 books from me when I was in the Windsor. And so people are hearing the gospel. So the Lord is using Spirit Alive to touch many, many lives. So I want you to know that your giving, I see the giving, and we look at the giving. We pray for you. I pray for you. Whenever I remember it, I pray for your needs, your family. I bless you. I'm standing with you for whatever your need is. I want to thank you for giving into the Spirit of Life television ministry so that we will reach many, many lives. And I want to see this church so packed. Let's believe God together. Bring people in. Be mindful to bring them in. Bring somebody in. Have these front rows full. Jerry, bring all your old alcoholic buddies in. Have a section of alcoholics over here. Dry guys. And Pastor Ken, bring all your ministry friends that are not going to church. There are people that don't go to ministry, don't go to church. But we got to pray for them. Amen. Father, we pray for every person that's been outside of the ministry. They left the ministry for whatever hurts. The ministry helps people left. People in full-time ministry have left their calling. We pray in the name of Jesus, devil, you let those people alone. Bring their families back to church. And may there be healing and restoration. We thank you for this, Lord. If there's anybody in this room right now that you've never been able to come to God, you've never have given Jesus Christ your life. Is there somebody here that said, Pastor, I want to come to Jesus. I want to get born again. Is there somebody like that in this room? Nobody here? Lift up your hand. I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Everybody born again, saved. Anybody here that says, Pastor, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Let me see that hand right now. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? You're all filled with the Holy Ghost. Anybody here that wants to eat dinner? Let me see your hand right now. Praise God. Amen. Everybody here wants to eat dinner. Nobody wants to eat dinner. I want you to go and sign up over here, the left hall. Pastor Ken will give you $100 each right away. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God's doing wonderful things, guys. I'm telling you. Don't be so too scared. Don't be, you know, like, oh, you know, we need to go get those people. Love you all. Bless you. Have a wonderful day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.